allow myself to even think about something that God has accomplished through me, everything goes down. And I cannot afford that. Therefore, we need to really keep humble, honest humbleness. Anyway, before we start, I want to show you a few pictures. I just cannot help. Let me start here. Okay, this is Lake Moraine. Now, this rock is 2,500 meters. And that little spot here that you see, it's a boat with people. I was so high there. Yes. Now, since we talk about Canada, I just wanted to show you something to just to make you smile a little. Okay. This is my mom and my dad. They did not invite me at their wedding, but that's okay. This is Daniela, 31 years ago when we got married. I told you I put my eyes on her. I had a reason. This is Ovi, our youngest son. By the way, that's not a real picture. It's Photoshop, you know. And this is Gabe, our oldest son, kicking himself and catching himself. Again, it's Photoshop. This is Dana and I, 6 years ago at our 25th anniversary. This is family about, I would say, 10, 12 years ago, more or less. This is our older son and his wife. Now, Gabriel had an accident. You may know the story. A terrible four-wheeler accident. And his right side of the head is mostly titanium. Yeah. And God saved his life amazingly. That's Ovi, our youngest son, and his wife. By the way, Gabriel and Denisa, our daughter-in-law. And Ovi and Kayla, our daughter-in-law. Okay? And this is 2-3 years ago? 2 years ago at Ovi's wedding. Nobody says, what a nice family. Oh, come.
What a nice family.
Thank you. Thank you. I agree. This is part of my church in Lexington. You see the chapel, you see the church, but you don't see the gym, you don't see the school, the Pathfinder building, and the Sabbath school classrooms. In our church, we have 16 Sabbath school classrooms, all of them filled up. Literally every single age group is present. There is nobody missing. You name the age and it's filled. It's every age is present. I don't care if you say 10 or 12 or 15 or 18 or 22 or 30. Everybody is there. No generation missing. This is half of the church inside, the right half. And imagine symmetrically the left half. This is from our deck looking on our property. Yeah. This is in front of the house. This is Mitzi. She's extremely smart, extremely intelligent. I could give you stories. One time how she saved kind of our life when the tractor tipped over. Anyway, this is Prada and Ross. This is Gucci. Gucci, yeah? He sleeps around my head like a crown. Ah. This is Flappy. This is my pet. And this is the guy that I told you, today you pay, tomorrow is for free. You remember the story? Ah, that's the guy. Pistachio. This is part of the house. It's one level here, but it's very steep on the other side, and it's two-story on the other side. Anyway. Oh, come on. No. Oh, sorry. Let's go back. Okay. Man, it doesn't move. This is my first bike ever. Let's go back one slide. It doesn't move. For some reason, it doesn't move. Okay, please go forward now, one slide. Okay, this is our granddaughter, Eva. She calls me Utu. And let's go one more slide. This is my first bike. It's a 1967 or 68 CZ. It's a Czech Republic motorcycle. That was my first bike ever. Yeah, what a story there. And this is my first car. If you read the book, this is the car that I drove Bibles with. This is it. It was like Mr. Bean's car. I mean, a very small. You would keep your teeth in your mouth and drive, you know. And it had holes in the floor. When we would go through water, we would have to lift up our legs so we don't get wet. But nevertheless, it worked, you know. I put cardboard wood instead of a floor so we'll not get wet, you know. It was fun. This is Calvin. Now he's grown, he's big. And this is me when I was about 3 years old. That's it. We can stop. We can take them off. Thank you. Okay. Let's have a prayer start tonight. Father in heaven, we cannot thank you enough for your grace. We'll never fully understand. Why would you love us so much? And why would you call us to serve? Because you really don't need us. Father, please come with your spirit and touch us tonight. Help us understand what you have in plan for us. In Jesus' precious name we ask. Amen. So I was contemplating what to speak about, and I decided, because a few people came and asked me, they said, we really want to pray, but we don't know how to pray. And I said, hey, just pray. You learn praying by praying, you know. But nevertheless, I decided to talk a little about prayer. The prayer seminar takes 12 hours, literally. But we will just touch on the Lord's Prayer. There are 650 prayers in the Bible and several in the book of Psalm. And out of them, listen carefully, 70%, and I did the math, I took one by one, 70% of them have recorded answer. I believe the others are answered, it's just not recorded. Out of 70% that have recorded answer, only about 2% have instant answer. All the others have in time answer. Now, I want you to know, this is the key. The prayers in the Bible that are answered, about over 95% don't pray with self in the center. Because many times people wonder, why my prayer doesn't get an answer? Because we put self in the center. When Moses prayed for Israel, he didn't put him and he didn't put them in the center. He put God in the center. Let me give you an example. God said, step aside, I'm going to destroy them and make you a great nation. And Moses said, they deserve to die. They are a rebellious nation. But what are the nations going to say about you? That you cannot deliver what you promised, that you are not a gracious God. Think about your name and forgive them. When you put God's honor above anything else, God answers that prayer. You need to forget self, forget the others, and make sure that God is in the center, because he deserves to be in the center. When you trust him to the point to put him in the center, he will honor that trust. And you'll never be sorry. When you pray that prayer, you feel that you lose, but you never lose. People who honor God, God honors them. For instance, every time when you do that, you feel that you have to give it up. Like Abraham, when he obeyed God, he felt he would lose his son. He didn't. When he left his house, he felt that he would lose everything. He didn't. When you put God in the center, he may allow you to sense that, to test your faith, but you will not lose. God has no business, no intention, no desire. It's not his business. It's not his way. He doesn't desire to take your stuff, your family, your life, your health. God doesn't need them. But God doesn't want you to put them first. God wants you to put him first. So let's go a little into the prayer. From the 650 prayers, I took 8 prayers. Now I'm not going to go through all of them, because that's pages and pages and pages and pages. It took me 9 years to write on it. But anyway, I took 8 prayers and I did exegesis on all 8. And all 8 separately are a lot of teaching. But it happens that all 8 have same characteristics. And I'm going to pick one of them, the Lord's Prayer. And as we go through it, feel free to interrupt and ask questions as long as they are related to the subject and they are short. Okay? So, we take the Lord's Prayer. Jesus prays and things happen. Disciple prayed and it didn't happen. And disciples came to Jesus and said, why we cannot cast out the demons? Why we cannot heal the sick? Why we cannot do that? And Jesus said, these things work out with prayer and fasting. And they said, because they noticed that he prayed different than the way they prayed. The Bible says that Jesus would spend the whole night in prayer. Imagine that. Well, I have a job. Well, Jesus was not lazy, you know. He was not watching movies and eating pizza and doing nothing. He was running from morning to night. He had no place to sleep. You follow me? He was tired too. But this is what I learned. When you spend time praying, God will help you sleep in 4 hours as others in 8. I am not saying that you should never sleep. But I am saying that you should make yourself available for God to talk. What am I saying? Discipline yourself that you go to sleep a little earlier and ask God to wake you up whenever he needs to talk to you. When you do that and you mean it, God is going to wake you up. And sometime he may wake you up at 2 and sometime at 5. He knows how much prayer you need the next day. And he will wake you up to charge your batteries enough that you can go with him the next day. My father used to say, you should not go through that room without God's presence. A day without God is a day that you lose forever. You'll never recover. You'll do mistakes that you can never fix. Therefore, you need to wake up and make sure that before you leave that house, you pray enough to make sure that you have God's presence with you. My father, I love water. I imagine that in heaven, I'm going to build my house on water or by water. When I was a kid, my mom would put an aluminum or a plastic, I don't remember, tab or bath or whatever outside. And it was like this shape. And she would fill it with water and put bubble foam in it. And it was hot summer, July. And it was like 115 degrees. And I would get in the water and get under and cool down and feel good. And then get above again and feel happy. And I was only 3 years old. And one time I asked my dad, why do you pray so long? And my father said, I need Jesus. And I said, how much of him do you need? And my father said, do you remember when you go outside in the bath? Yes. How much water do you have? I said, well, a lot. How much do you need? Well, a lot. When do you feel good? Well, when the water is all around me. And he said, that's the way it's with Jesus. I need him to be all around me, above, under, left, right, from, behind, to surround me to the point that I am all covered. Do you follow? And my father said, whatever is not covered, that's where Satan is going to attack you. And my father said, you really want to serve God? You will never do it before you are surrounded in his presence. You follow me? And so you don't leave that room before you are surrounded with his presence. So when you step out, he can work in you. You don't step out and say, help me with my job and help me with my... There is nothing wrong to do that as long as he comes first. You step out and you say this prayer. You say, Lord, I made myself available. Here I am. Open my eyes. Because the way we are people, we don't see others around. We don't hear others around. All we see is what I have to do. We are so focused on our plans that we are blind and deaf to the world around us. You go through that door and you say, Lord, open my eyes. Open my mind. Open my ears, that I see people, and if you have a job for me, I am available. When you pray that prayer, God will answer that prayer, and he's going to give you work every day. I could give you example after example after example. I mean, I am leaving for a board meeting, and as I am getting in the car, I drive, and I am never late. Very rarely, I mean, a car accident or something that would keep, a traffic jam that would keep me, but I am always early to get ready and pray. Our meetings, they are a lot of prayer and a little planning, not the other way around. A lot of prayer and a little planning. Anyway, so I leave, I'm ready for a board meeting, I'm driving, and I pray the same prayer. Lord, I make myself available. Please, if there is something that you need me to be a blessing for, open my eyes that I see people around me, that I hear people. Make me a blessing. Use me. So, I'm driving the car and my wife calls. And she says, honey, Gucci is sick. He started to vomit blood. Our little puppy that I showed you, that sleeps around my head. So, I turn around, forget that I have a board meeting. I call my head elder, hey, my puppy is sick. Chair the board until I come. Okay. I go pick up Gucci, go to the vet. But I was dressed in suit and tie. Because I was going to a board meeting. You remember? I pick up Gucci, run to the vet. And they look to me, and these three ladies in the front, about another three in the back, and two doctors. And they look to me, and they know me, and they say, Mr. Goya, we have never seen you in blue jeans, in a suit and a tie. Usually you are in blue jeans. And where are you going? Dressed so nice. I say, well, I was going to a board meeting. What type of business or what? I said, no, I'm a pastor going to my church. You are? I said, yes, I am. Well, you usually come here when you have, you know, something for your puppies. What is wrong? I said, well, he started to vomit blood. He ate something outside that cut his stomach, you know. And so the doctor says, they did an x-ray, all the stuff, you know, and eventually he was fine. But they said, well, since you are a pastor, we have a question. What happens to pets when they die? Do they go to heaven or not? Well, I'm not going to give you the answer. But I believe I have a few Bible verses and a few quotations from the Spirit of Prophecy that will blow your mind. But I'm not going to go there. So I told him, hey, I don't know what happens, but when I get to heaven, if you are there, I'm going to let you know. I will be there. But if you are there, we'll talk about it. But until then, you know, I could give you a couple of Bible verses to think about. And I let you choose. I'm not going to give you my opinion. Say, well, that's a good view. That's a good point. We like it. What happens to people when they die? I said, well, it depends what you want. What? I said, exactly what I said. It depends what you want. Do you want what the Bible says, or do you want to hear what you like? Well, I want what the Bible says. Okay, this is what the Bible says. And for me, that's a lot of comfort for this and this and that reason. Well, never heard that before, but it makes sense. Praise the Lord, I said. Well, tell me then, what about the second coming? How is it going to happen? Because there are so many theories in the movies. So, well, that's because you watch too many movies. Read the Bible. Amen. This is what the Bible says. Well, meanwhile, they gathered. All the, you know, nurses and everybody was there listening. And they said, listen, would you come back tomorrow again? We have a few more questions. Next day I went back. Next week I went back. I gave them a set of DVDs. I gave them a second set of DVDs. I gave them a set of sermons. I gave them books. I invited them to evangelism. Nothing happens by chance. I said, Lord, show me today who needs a blessing. God allowed my puppy to get sick a little, that I could reach those people when they were tackling some subjects and they could not get an answer. And God had them ask me the questions and open the door to work with them. When you make yourself available, God will give you opportunities. But we are so focused on us that we are blind to the people around. So, the way you pray, the way Jesus prayed, was different from what we prayed. The prayers in the Bible were focusing on God's work, not focusing on self. People loved God so much that they forgot self. You cannot say you love God if you pray for self. I know that's a new dimension, but I tell you what, there is nothing wrong to pray for self if you pray for God first. And then if you submit self to God's will, when you pray for self. For instance, he said, cast all your needs upon him. But the word cast there, the translation means, literally, to throw them so far that you cannot reach them and take them back. When you cast your needs upon the Lord, you don't show them to the Lord and then keep carrying them. You throw them at the Lord and leave them with the Lord, and you trust that the Lord is able to deal with them. When you pray and then you still struggle, it's because you took them back because you didn't trust that he is able to deal with your problems. If you trust him, you leave them with him and you move on. They are not your problems, they are his. But because we don't know him, we don't trust him. And because we don't trust him, we still struggle. Do you follow me? So, how do you pray? The disciples came to Jesus and said, teach us how to pray. And we think that we know how to pray. If the disciples asked Jesus how to pray, imagine, we don't know how to pray. In fact, in the book of Romans, he says the Holy Spirit has to intercede for us because we don't even know how to pray. We don't know what to ask. Okay? And Jesus said, in this manner, he didn't say with these words. That would be brainwashing. Mantra, repeat the same words until you hypnotize yourself, you kill yourself. You know, there are those people that talk about crazy prayer, you know, that you focus, and if you focus hard, it's going to happen. Be careful, if you focus too much, you focus on somebody's wife or something. Don't focus too much, you know. Yes. Oh, if you focus and believe, it's going to happen. There is nothing in you. You can focus until you perspire. There is no power in you. It's either God or Satan. Oh, you focus on the center eye. They are crazy. I don't have a center eye. I have only two in left and right. Empty your brain. Unless you die, how can you empty your brain? Myself, I can never empty it. My brain goes all directions all the time. You cannot empty your brain. Those who teach that, they teach oriental meditation, spiritualism. You should meditate. The Bible says day and night I meditate. But the Bible gives you the object of the meditation. Every place in the Bible, literally, and every place in the spirit of prophecy, and I have about 6-7 pages of paragraphs from the spirit of prophecy about meditation, every single one gives you the object of your meditation, and that's God and his word and his law. You don't empty your brain. You fill your brain with God's presence. You don't focus on nothing. You focus on Jesus. Focus on his sacrifice. Focus on the last week of his life. Focus on his word. Focus on his law. You follow me? You don't focus on self or focus on nothing. You don't repeat the same words. In fact, Jesus told you not to repeat the same words as pagans do. Prayer is not when you repeat the same mantra. Prayer is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend. It's an honest, humble conversation. Respectfully, you say, Lord, this is where I am. I need you. That's prayer. It's not a repetition of the same words. If you catch yourself, if you are honest with yourself, we pray the same prayer all our life. Yes, I did something very bad. I recorded my church members praying. I never made it public, but I did it nevertheless. And then I compared, and you know what? The same people pray the same prayer always. You can learn it by memory. You can say it ahead of them, and they'll be surprised. Oh, how do you know what I was about to say? I'm a prophet. Because you pray the same prayer. People, believe it or not, watch yourself. People pray the same prayer, and they don't feel good before they say the same words. Well, if I did that to my wife, I would sleep on the couch. She wants me to have an honest, open conversation, not to say the same formula every day. Good morning, honey. Thank you for being with me last night. Be with me today. I love you. Bye. If I say that every day, she's going to, hey, get out. It has to be a family opening. You need to talk to God in an honest way because he knows your thoughts anyway. Doesn't he? So, Jesus says, in this manner, not with these words. In Greek means, this is the structure to build your prayers on. You follow me? In this manner. Now, if you say, repeat these words, the way I speak, I have to control myself even in English so I don't speak fast because if I speak fast, nobody will understand me. But I tell you, even in Romanian, I can speak so fast that Romanians need translation from Romanian. I can speak so fast that you think that I am racing. People have no time to even catch what I say when I speak. So, imagine if I would repeat the Lord's Prayer and pray without, let's say, pray 2 hours. That would be brainwashing because I could say the Lord's Prayer in 2 hours like maybe 2,000 times, you know? Like Ave Maria, you know, you repeat until you don't even think. You hypnotize yourself. You are brainwashed. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to have a conversation with the Lord. So, Jesus says, in this manner you should pray. And he started. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. What word was repeated 3 times? Okay. Give us today, forgive us, and do not lead us. What was word was repeated 3 times? First part of the prayer, you focus on God. Second part, you focus on you. Never switch the priorities. God should come first, and then you. Only after you focus on God, you can focus on you. Why? And he says, enter his gates with
thanksgiving.
Praises, thanksgiving. Why? Because God is so proud that he loves to be flattered. Oh, I love when they flatter me. Is that the reason?
No.
Why would you need to praise him? It's for your sake, not for God's sake. Yes, he is worthy. Yes, I agree. But it is for you. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is the hand that grabs God's promises. If you don't believe, he cannot work. And when you go and struggle focusing on problems, you struggle, you have no faith. You need to focus on God. Realize who you are addressing. It helps you to focus. It helps you to trust. When you contemplate God, who he is, his grace, his power, and praise him, that strengthens your faith. That nurtures, feeds, reinforces. When you talk faith, faith grows. Your words have power, more than you know. Talk to a kid and tell him he is bad, and he will be bad. Tell a kid he is good, and he's going to be good. You follow me? When you talk faith, it reinforces the way you think. And he gives you peace and joy and confidence that you can trust him. And then it's safe for you to ask. Do you follow me? For instance, I was in Monterey a few years ago. It was an NAD prayer something. Ruti Jacobson put it together. And I was supposed to teach a prayer seminar. And I'm preaching there. And my phone was on vibrate. I just got a new phone. And I didn't know how to turn it off. It was crazy. It was too complicated for me. So I'm preaching and it starts vibrating. Man, it kind of got my attention and I lost my train of thoughts. So I look, how do I turn this thing off? And I push here and it doesn't turn off. And you know what? I open, I get the battery out. I said, now you are off. I finished preaching my sermon and then I put the battery to check who called me. It was one of my church members from Lexington. He left 16 text messages and 22 voice messages. From good to bad to worse to horrible. Pastor, please answer my phone. Pastor, why don't you answer the phone? Pastors, you never care. Pastor, I'll never come back to church. I just cannot stand when you don't care. Pastor, and he goes worse and worse and worse and worse. So I call him, what is wrong? Why don't you answer the phone? I was preaching. Oh, I didn't know. Duh. How could I have told you if I was preaching? What do you want? Well, you know that my wife had a surgery 2 years ago and she never healed. She never healed. She was in pain 2 years after surgery, day and night, 24/7. And he says, you know that my wife never healed. You know, also, I got her. And then he says, you know that I lost my grandson, 3 months old. I had to bury that baby. That's beyond words. You don't even know what to say to a funeral of a 3-month-old baby. He says, you know that I lost my grandson. You know that my daughter had a major surgery, Crohn disease, and she lost most of the intestines. And he says, now I got sick, and now I'm losing my job. And he says, I've been praying for the last 6 months, day and night, and God doesn't seem to answer. So I said, listen, and I'm not going to say his name. I said, listen, what do you pray for? Well, that God will solve these problems. I said, well, he will never answer. Why? Either he doesn't care or he's unable. Do you follow me? If he is able and he didn't answer, he doesn't care. If he cares and he didn't answer, he's not able. Because if he cares and if he is able, he should have answered. I said, which one do you think? He said, well, neither of them. God cares and he is able. Well, you told me that you have been praying and he doesn't answer. Now, when were you right or wrong? I got him. You follow me? He just told me that God doesn't answer, and now he tells me that God answers and he cares. Well, if God answers and he cares, then why don't you get an answer? Well, I don't know. That's the reason I called you. Ah, okay. Well, I tell you why. Are you willing to do what I say? Oh, well, it depends what you say. Well, then leave me alone. Say, no, Pastor, hold on a second. Said, are you willing to do what I say? Well, I don't know. It depends what you ask me. Then don't call me again. Bye. No, Pastor, I will do it. Okay, I will do it. Okay, then listen. Stop praying for your problems. Well, but that's the problem I have. No, that's what you think. The real problem is not the problem. It's that you focus on the problem. Satan wants you to focus on the problem to get you discouraged. The real problem that you have is not the problem. A few years later, or when you get to heaven, you are going to look back and say, that was not a real problem. The real problem that you have is that you focus on the problem. They say, stop praying for those problems. Who told you to keep your eyes on problems? Put your eyes upon Jesus. He says, when you go through the fire, I will be with you. When you go through the waters, I will be with you. Put your eyes on that promise. So what then, what should I pray for? I said, listen, I tell you what to pray for. I want you to go to the Bible and find 10 Bible promises. Psalm, Isaiah, whatever. Write them down. But I said, listen, I'm not kidding. You do it or never call me again. You do it, I want you to call me back and tell me that you did it. Well, where do I find them? In the Bible. Bible promises. Okay, give me some direction. How many years have you been an Adventist? 40? Okay, then you should know. Read your Bibles. Journal when you read the Bible. You know? Anyway, I said, look in the book of Psalm, you'll find more than 10. Okay, write them down. What else? I want you to think back about 10 things that God has done for you in the past. Well, I don't remember. You tell me that God has never done anything for you. No, I'm not saying that. Okay, then think about, what if I don't remember? Ask God to remind you. Isn't it sad that we remember problems but never blessings? Hello? Okay, so I said, I want you to write them down. And I want you to pray, reading to God the 10 promises and the 10 things that he has done for you in the past, and praising him for being so wonderful, and thanking him for being such a God. That's it? That's it. And he will answer. Stop thinking about an answer. Don't seek an answer. Just praise the Lord. That's it? That's it. How is going to answer my problems? Zip it. But how do you know? I said, just don't talk about it. Can I talk? No. After that, can I mention? No. So why should I just praise the Lord? For how long? As long as it takes. When do you know that is good enough? When you have peace. When you have joy. Then it's good enough. And then, that's it. I said, no, I'm not done yet. What do you want else? What else do you want? I said, I want you to call somebody that has worse than you. And tell them the 10 promises and the 10 answered prayers. And tell them how good God is. Why would I do that? Because I said so. Because you called me. Okay. I said, listen, you do that and you call me back and tell me what happened. But Pastor, it doesn't make a lot of sense. I said, hey, don't try to understand how God works because your brain is smaller than God's. Just do it. I said, you have tried, you told me 6 months. You have been praying, asking God for help for 6 months, and you got no answer. That's poor business. You do the same thing with the same results. One time, you are not going to die. Just do what I say. And what's going to happen if I don't pray for my problems? Hey, the worse you die. If you die, I'm going to preach the best funeral sermon ever. I said, what do you lose? One time. What do you lose to spend one time, a few hours, praising the Lord? What do you lose? I guess nothing. Then do it. Okay. Call me back after you do it. If you don't do it, don't call me again. What sense to call me and ask for advice if you don't do it? Don't lose my time. I don't have time. Okay. I prayed for him. I prayed the whole night. He was not in an easy situation. You put yourself in his shoes, you may get discouraged too. Don't think you are strong before you get there. Who thinks he is strong, be careful. Nobody is strong. I prayed for him the whole night. The whole night, literally. I was at Monterey. I did not sleep that night. It was 6 a.m. I was still praying. And he called me at 6 something, 6.15, 6.30, I don't remember. And you know, God can answer through a donkey. God can answer through a phone call. I didn't know. Maybe God answered my prayer. So I said, Lord, what if it's you? I got to answer to see what you say. So I picked up the phone. And it was him. Pastor, you will not believe what happened. I said, tell me. I found the 10 Bible promises. I wrote them down. I prayed that God would remind me 10 answered prayers. And he did. I wrote them down. Then I started to pray and I did not ask. First time in my life when I asked nothing in prayer. That was hard. Can you imagine how far we are from the real prayer to say that was hard? We are so self-focused that we have hard time not to pray for self. And he said, that was hard, but I did not ask anything. I just praised him. And you know, Pastor, when I started to praise him, nothing happened. But the more I praised him, the more I started to realize what a bad Christian I am. How I dishonor my God. I'm not a light. All my co-workers know that I am an Adventist. And I am as sad as they are. And I tell them that I have a good God and God is wonderful. And they don't see that in my life. And he said, as I was praising him, I started to realize that if I really believe that he is a wonderful God, I should have a little more peace and a little more faith in him. A little more comfort that he knows what I go through and I should trust him. And the more I praised him, the more peace I had in my heart. And the more I praised him, the more I started to have joy actually, and I started to forget my problems. I said, duh. When you pray on problems, you focus on problems, guess what? You get depressed. The more you pray, the more you struggle. You are not supposed to pray problems. You are supposed to pray promises. Do you follow me? You don't fix your eyes on problems. You fix your eyes on promise. You fix your eyes on Jesus. So he says, the more I prayed praises, the more peace I had. You feed faith. You nurture, you develop. You follow me, reinforce faith. And he said, I started to have joy to the point that I didn't feel like praying. I started to sing. And Pastor, this is first time in a lifetime of being an Adventist when I sing. Isn't that sad? There is a lot of music in the Bible. There will be a lot of music in heaven. And we never sing because we are too sad. My mother and my father always sang in the house. They were always just whistling and singing like it was the best place in the world. And he said, I stopped praying and for some reason I started to sing. And he said, I finally had joy. And I don't know how God is going to work. I don't have an answer yet. But I know that I can trust in him. Do you see the difference between yesterday and today? After only one prayer of praises. Come on. He said, I finally had peace. I cannot explain it, a peace that surpasses any human understanding. He said, I cannot explain it, but I knew that I can trust the Lord. I knew that I can trust his wisdom, his power, his love, and that he knows and he's in control and he will take care of it. Amen. And he said, I did what you said. I called a co-worker who lost his son in a car accident and his wife to cancer, and he also lost his job. And Pastor, you will not believe what happened. I called him and I said, hey, I want to share with you 10 Bible promises and 10 miracles that God has done for me in my life to help you, give you a little courage and strength. And he started to cry. And as I was reading the Bible promises, he said, you know what you have done for me? He said, yeah, I called you to give you a little courage. No, you don't know. I loaded my gun. I put it at my head. And I was ready to pull the trigger when the phone went off. And I said, I will kill myself after I pick up the phone. And I answered, and it was you. And when you told me these promises, I cannot help but wonder, you go through challenges as I do. How can you have so much faith? What a wonderful God you have. You go through so many things, and you have peace and joy. I want that God. That's a real God that I don't see in other churches. Do you see, folks? Do you see why we should enter with praises? Hallowed be thy name. Do you follow? It's not that God needs to be flattered. Oh, I don't like it when they don't flatter me. It's because you need to realize what a God you have and to nurture your faith. So then when you ask, you have peace and faith. And only that way God can answer. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because those who come, they need to believe. Do you understand? God didn't ask you to praise him because he needs it, but because you need it. Hallowed be thy name. How do you hallow God's name? The word in Greek to hallow, it's hagios, means to sanctify. But you cannot sanctify God's name because he's holy with you or without you. He's already holy. So I look carefully there to see the Greek. And the Greek is not hagios, it's hagiazo. That means in translation, let me sanctify your name in my life. Basically, you are an open letter to the neighbors and to the co-workers. And God, they don't know God, but they do know you. And God wants you to behave in such a way with so much dignity and so much honesty and so much integrity and so much humbleness and so much wisdom and so much love and so much grace that they can see Jesus in you. And they have a chance to know God through you. And you honor him through your behavior. That's evangelism. You follow me? That's how you hallow God's name. When you do that and make it a priority in your prayers, God cannot help but answer that prayer. You praise God and you seek to honor God, not to solve your problems. Do you follow me? When you say, hallowed be thy name, basically... I'm going to give you another story, but you already know it. George Miller, he was feeding orphans in England. You remember?
Yes.
They asked him, how do you have so much food to feed so many kids? I said, I don't have it. I pray. And they said, what do you ask when you pray? And he said, my friend, you got it wrong. Prayer is not about asking. It's about praising. Hello?
Amen.
And they said, so why would you praise the Lord when you need food for the kids? And he said, God, if you know your God, God loves those kids more than you do. You don't need to ask him to care. He already does. You just need to trust in his love. So he said, I praise him in faith because I know him and I praise him for what he's about to do. And I don't need to know. I just need to know him. A lot of wisdom in those words. And they asked him, how much do you praise him? And he said, quote, until my soul is glad. You praise him until you have joy. You follow me? I was in university. What time is it? When do we finish?
When you're done.
No. Hey, somebody may fall off the window and sleep and die, you know. It's just, 8:30. We are supposed to go until? 9 o'clock, okay. 9 o'clock sharp, we finish. I don't care if you like it or not. Okay, just get done. Okay, so I was in university. And when I was in university, they told me that they will expel me from school for not going on Sabbath to school. During communism, there was school on Saturdays. And you may know the story already. The bottom line is this. It was very hard to get in school in Romania. Very hard. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds competing for a few seats. And when you got accepted, to lose school would be a tragedy. And from 978 or whatever, there are only 10 accepted. I was the fourth among the 10 that were accepted in university. And now to lose it because of Sabbath, that was not a pretty picture. So I started to pray, Lord, please save my education. Please, 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 please. And I prayed day and night and day and night and pleaded to the Lord. And got no answer. And when I talked to my dad, I said, I am praying. I'm losing school. And God doesn't answer. What should I do? My father asked me, what do you pray for? Well, that God will save my education. My father said, so what does he mean? So I don't have to go on Sabbath to school. And my father said, why do you pray for that? Because I don't want to lose my education. I said, who cares? Who cares for your education? I do. He said, that's bad. Then my father said, what should you pray for? I said, I don't know. God saves my education. And my father said, well, What do you think you should pray for? So, well, I don't know. And long story short, we talked about, should I go to school, should I not go? Anyway, long story short, my father, I don't have time to go through the whole story, but I'll give you the bottom, the punchline. My father said, your priority should not be your education, should not be your job, should not be your health, should not be your life, should be God's honor. If God put you there to be a light, to help those communist people know that there is a God, you should live for that or die for that. People lost their lives for God, and you are not willing to lose your education, and you say you are a Christian, and you say you love God? That's just slogans. Oh, I love God. Are you willing to lose your education for God? Are you willing to lose your job for God? If not, then you don't love God. You should stop praying for your education. You should start praying that whatever happens would be whatever would honor God. If it honors God that you lose education, God, help me lose it. If it honors God that you keep it, whatever would be for His honor, stop praying for you. I was like, wow. Stop praying for you, start praying for God. God doesn't need my prayers. He said, oh yes, He does. Well, after several days of praying and trying to get an answer and never getting a blessing and an answer, that night I read in Steps to Christ, and it was kind of the same message. So I prayed a different prayer, and I said, Lord, help me not to focus on my education, but help me honor you and be a light so those people from school would learn that there is a God in heaven. Next day I went to school and talked to Mrs. Radu, the secretary of the school. And I said, you know, is there something that I can do so they don't expel me? I said, yeah, come Saturday to school. I said, I cannot do that. I said, yes, you can. You just make a little compromise. You come to school, but in your mind you worship God. You compromise today, you compromise tomorrow. Soon enough, all your life it's a compromise. If you don't take a stand. It's better to take a stand at any price. So I told her, nah, there are three young men in the Bible. And they said, we will not worship. And they didn't bow down, you know, to tie their shoelaces. They took a stand for their God. And they said, God is able to save us. If not, we are willing to die. And I said, God is able to save my education. If not, I'm willing to lose. She said, you are crazy. There is no God. Have you seen God? I said, yep. You see, you are crazy. And I said, nobody can save you from a communist government. They have the power. They can kill you with no court, no process. Nobody will say anything. They can do whatever they want. I said, you are so wrong. There is a God in heaven above the communist government. And I said, I want to see what God is that can save you. Well, I called my dad. He said, well, he challenged God. She's in trouble. Well, I went to the dean, tried to talk him into allowing me to miss Saturdays. Said, hey, I'm a straight-A student. Da, 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 da. Get out! I said, okay. Got out. If you don't come Saturday, you are out without any right to ever register in any school for the rest of your life. Okay. Went home. I didn't even pray for education. I said, Lord, help them know that there is a God in heaven at any price. And whatever you choose for my education, I will accept it. That was a difficult prayer to pray. Next day, Friday, my last day of education. You know the story. The lady, when I got to school, she was like the Romanian flag. She was red, blue, and yellow. I said, do you have the flu? She said, no. Are you okay because you are pale? Yes. What happened to you? She says, well, I want you to be honest, Pavel. I said, I'm usually honest, and that's a problem with me. I am too honest, you know. And you know, sometimes people don't like that. And she says, Pavel, do you know Ceausescu? That was the president, the dictator. I said, yeah, I see him on TV every day. No. Are you buddies? I said, me and the president buddies. You kidding me? And she said, well, you don't know him. No. Do you know anybody in the government? I said, no. All I know about government, when I get a flower every day to my wife. When I don't have money to buy flowers, in front of the government building, there are thousands of roses. I just take one for free and give it to my wife, you know. When she told me, stop spending money, I said, honey, it didn't cost me a penny. It's from the government building in front, from the garden. Don't do that. They will arrest you. I said, oh, they don't catch me. Don't worry. I run faster than anybody else. But anyway, so I said, no, I don't know anybody in the government. And she says, there is a God. I said, I told you. But tell me why. Well, she said, today Ceaușescu gave a law. Starting today, in the whole country, there is no school on Saturdays. He said, we need to save the economy. So there will be no power, no heating, no cooling, no lights, no nothing. All schools in the whole country closed all Saturdays. And she said, if that law came next week, you would have been out. There is a God in heaven. And you don't need an answer to trust. You need to trust and then you get an answer. And you don't need to pray for your problems. He knows your problems. You need to seek his honor. And let him deal with your problems. Because he will do a better job than you do when you focus on your problems. You don't need to get depressed and all discouraged. You need to focus on God. And let God deal with it. Anyway, moving on. Hallowed be thy name. That's what you seek. You seek to honor God through your life. Not to solve your problems. I want this and I want that. And give me that and solve that. And forgive me for that and save me for that. And then it's all give me is like vending machine. Where God is the servant and you are the master. And you tell him what to do. And he says, yes, sir. And he does it. Oh, come on. Hallowed be thy name means that you put God's honor above self. That's the way people pray in the Bible. And then he says, thy kingdom come. Well, I tell this story and I cannot help it. There was a lady somewhere in one district. When I got a motorcycle, I went to visit them because she was the most holy. She fell off from heaven. She was Mary herself, you know. I've never seen a person so holy in my life. She even had a holy voice. When she prayed, she was like, oh, Lord, we love you. You know, and she, holy voice. When she talked to you, the voice was not very holy, you know, but when she prayed, it was very holy. And she was trying to impress God and everybody else, you know. Anyway, so I said, hey, I'm going to come and visit the holy people, you know. And so I said, I'm going to visit you. Come over, Pastor. We love you. How could they love me? It was just the last week, the week before that I moved in that district. They didn't even know me. I could not say, I love you too, because I would lie. I just said, oh, God bless you, you know. And, you know, I mean, when she says, I love you, if I don't love her, why would I lie, you know. And just, I said, oh, God bless you, I'll come and visit. I got on my bike. Life. I just purchased the bike one day before from a garage sale. It was a deal. The lady got divorced. Husband left the bike behind. Battery was not changed. She says, the bike doesn't start. I said, how much do you want for it? She said, whatever. And I said, say a number. 500? Take it before she would change her mind. I took the bike. I changed the battery and the bike was new, you know. Anyway, here I am on a nice new bike. Getting a ride through countryside roads. Feeling good. Heaven. And I get there. Pastor, we love you. And she gives me a hug and we talk and we pray and then I leave. I get on my bike and the bike died. It was new and I forgot that it has a little thing under the tank that you open gas. And I forgot to open it and the bike was running on the carburetor gas. When that ended, the bike stopped. And try to start it with no gas. It didn't start. It drained the battery. It died. So I didn't think about opening gas. So I walked back to the house to get help. And they didn't know that I am coming back. And they didn't hear the engine. And heaven was hell. She was calling him terrible names that I cannot say even the first letter the way she was calling him. You, and then she started. I'm not going to say the first letter, even not the first letter. The way she was calling her husband. Screaming. And they started to fight physically each other. And she pushed him and he pushed her into the door. And I was at the door knocking to ask for help. And I stopped knocking and I left slowly so they will not see me because I was ashamed of their shame. And he pushed her and the door slammed open. He says, you bend the garage door. You are stupid. You are... Pastor, you came back. could we say, I want to be in heaven when heaven is not in you? When you say, thy kingdom come, in the Lord's Prayer, it's a present continuous tense. It implies that unless God's kingdom comes today in your heart and in your family, it's not going to come tomorrow for you. Unless you live in a way that all know that heaven lives in your house, you cannot expect heaven tomorrow. When God came into Zacchaeus' house, God said, today my kingdom has entered your house. That's what Jesus told Zacchaeus. You remember? God's kingdom has to be real today in order to be real tomorrow. That's what Jesus implies in the prayer. You focus on God's honor and you invite his kingdom to become real here and now. Don't expect it there and then unless you experience it here and now. And then he says, thy will be done. Oh, we say a lot of, may your will be done. Amen. But we never mean it because we push the Lord in the prayer and we don't feel good before we convince him to do what we want. Then why do you say, may your will be done, if you don't give it up? If you say, may your will be done, you need to mean it. And after you present your need to the Lord, you need to say, now after I presented it, may your will be done and let his will be done. So stop pushing. Stop twisting his arm. Mean what you say. As Jesus in the garden, take the cup from me, nevertheless, may your will be done. And God said, no, you'll drink the cup. And Jesus accepted to drink the cup. We never accept. We pray and pray and pray and pray to be our way. If not, we get depressed. And we say at the end, may your will be done, amen. And we don't mean it. Because we want our will. You need to mean what you say. It's more than that. In order to do God's will, you need to know God's will. How could you do it before you know it? Therefore, prayer, it's a dialogue. Ellen White says, when every voice in Desire of Ages is hushed, the quietness of our soul makes possible to hear the voice of God. He says, be still and know that I am the Lord. Now, you know what be still and know means? In Hebrew, be still. Still and know are Rapha and Yada. You know what that means? Rapha doesn't mean to be still. It means don't be anxious. Yeah. Don't try to resolve problems when you come to the Lord. He knows the problems. You don't need to tell him. He knows your problems better than you imagine or better than you do. Don't try to solve. Don't get anxious. Don't try to solve everything. Come in his presence and enjoy his presence. Get to know him. Get to have a relationship. Get to see what he says. And Yada, what means Rapha? Be still. Don't be anxious. Don't try to solve. Rather try to know. And Yada is what God told Adam, go and sleep with your wife and have babies. He said Yada. That means have intimate relationship. God said, when you come in my presence, don't try to solve. Try to have an intimate relationship with me, because if you get to know me, that would solve your problems. Amen. That's the real problem that you have. It's not your problems. It's that you don't know me. Do you follow, folks? Basically, prayer is not when you do a lot of talking. In Psalm, it says, don't bring the sacrifice of the fools, comma, many words. Rather, when you come in God's presence, have a dialogue prayer. When you pray and listen and study and pray and listen. Because what he says is more important than what you say. Amen. Listen, how could you do his will? It's like my wife. I don't believe in American football. I just don't like the game. It doesn't make any sense. No offense. European soccer, that's the real game. When I watch soccer, I can watch it. I understand the game and I love the game. When I watch soccer, don't interrupt me. Brazil and Spain, when they play, you watch a game. Okay, so I was watching soccer. And it was, if I remember right, it was Portugal and Germany. And my wife, honey, can you do this and that and that? And I was watching the game, leave me alone, you know. But anyway, I said, uh-huh. And he says, do you know what I said? I said, huh? I had no clue what she said, because I was watching the game. How could you say, may your will be done, when you don't even listen to what he says? You need to know what he says before you can do it. Therefore, prayer is a dialogue. Throughout the Bible, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. He who has ears to hear. Abraham talked to God. Joseph talked to God. Everyone in the Bible. Paul talked. Everyone talked to God. Why don't we? Oh, it's too high for me. You need to allow God to work in you that. Basically, if you seek his will with honesty, he's going to impress you and let you know. And if you obey, you'll never be sorry. For instance, there was a lady, and we'll finish with this tonight. And tomorrow we'll continue the second part. It's extremely important. Tomorrow we'll talk about some issues that are really hot issues. But anyway, there was a lady in Wisconsin, good lady, good Christian. She did, you know, like everybody, we all have defects. She did kind of talk too much, you know. More than me. That's a good measurement, you know. I talk a lot. But she was a very hard-working lady in the church and very honest and very dedicated and very humble. Anyway, and when I preached about listening in prayer, I said, you cannot do God's will. And whatever you think that is good, you will never get a blessing over. Because you need to seek his will and then you will get a blessing. You need to get God's vision. You need to get God's plan. And then you act. You follow me? So the lady said, how do you do that? I said, you don't only talk, but you allow God to impress you. And he may impress you through a sermon, he may impress you through the Bible study, he may impress you through some circumstances, but he will make it clear to you if you seek his will with honesty. And she started to pray that way. And she called me after about a month. And she said, Pastor, it's kind of hard to be quiet. And I said in my mind, for you, yes. But I didn't say it loud. I wanted to be polite, you know, and to be a good pastor. I said, well, I am glad you try. Excuse me. And then she called me after about 2 months. I said, Pastor, it was a hard discipline in the beginning. But I listened to your advice. And the more I prayed, and the more I was seeking God's will, the more I started to sense how God impresses me. Now, listen carefully to what is next. She said, I sense when God says something, and if I do it, I see the blessing. And if I don't do it, every time I regret. Did it ever happen to you that? You know what I'm talking about. And she said, I prayed even more, and I started to distinguish his voice even more. And the more I pray, the more I got to know his voice. And then she said, after 3 months of praying that way and seeking his will, God talks to me every day. And she said, God talked to me and impressed me to start a community center. I said in my mind, why didn't he impress me? Because I am the pastor, you know. But I didn't say it. I was polite. And so she said, would you help me? I said, well, let's talk to the board. We talked to the board. Long story short, the board said, nah, we don't have the money. We don't have the people. And she says to me, you told me to pray that way. Now you got to help me. Oh, why in the world I told her to pray that way? Anyway, says, okay, Thursday I come and we go and look for a building. You know the story, you heard it before. Thursday I went there and we look for a building in Delavan, Wisconsin. We went from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., house by house. We could not find the building. I said, bye, God bless you. And she says, see you next Thursday. I said, no, I am busy. Well, you said Thursdays. I said, no, I said Thursday. No, I heard you. You said you'll help me every Thursday. I said, no, I didn't say that. Well, you told me to pray that way. Okay. Next Thursday I came. Next Thursday, 6 months every Thursday. I could not stand her anymore. She made my life miserable. I was ready to move. 6 months every Thursday, nonsense, going from building to building. We finished all the buildings, all the homes, all the businesses in Delavan, and then we moved to Elkhorn, 7 miles away, and we stood all of them again, and then we started again. Oh, I got tired. Why would God? I said, Lord, please answer. I got tired to go with her. But God had a reason not to answer. He was answering by not answering. because nobody knew the Adventist church, a little 20 old people church, dying church. No baptisms, no Bible studies, no nothing. They would just meet, sing the song, listen to the sermon, go home. That's it. Dying church. And God wanted to do something there. So God wanted us to go to every house so people get to know who we are. Anyway, after 6 months, after we finished all homes, all businesses, all everything, I was really tired. After 6 months, one day, a Thursday morning, we found the building. Praise the Lord. And the guy says, yeah, I got broke. I closed my business. I declared bankruptcy. You know what? I guess I will rent it to you instead of paying taxes and keeping empty. I'm going to rent it to you. How much do you charge? 4,000. How much do you have? 2,500. Well, can you pay 3,000? No. Okay, you can have it for 2,500 a month. We got a building. We signed the papers. I said, praise the Lord. You are not going to see me next Thursday. Bye. As soon as we signed the papers, I got a phone call. He says, are you Pastor Goya? Yes. I am the general manager from Kmart. I said, okay. We closed Kmart. We know that you want to start a community center. I said, how do you know? He says, everybody knows. Did you get a building? We just did. Do you have shelving? No. Do you want shelving for free? Yes. Bring a truck. You can have as much as you want. I talked to my head elder and another guy. We got 2 trucks because, you know, Adventists are greedy. They take more than they need, you know. And I got so much shelving. We had no room inside. We put shelving outside too. And then I talked to the church. Hey, I know your garage. I know your homes. I know you have more than you wear. Bring home, bring clothing, bring furniture, bring, just give donations. They did. And then the Baptist church came. Would you accept donations? I said, duh, we accept donations from anybody. Bring it on. And then the Presbyterian church came, and then the Methodist church came, and then the Lutheran church came. Donations started to pour. And then the government called. Would you handle the food stamps? Yes. And then the jail called. Would you take care of the people that have probation after they get out? Yes. And then, I mean, everybody knew us. We are on the main page on the newspaper every week for like 2-3 months. I still have those newspapers. The Adventist church is helping the poor. The Adventist church. Before, nobody knew the Adventist church. And we got so much donations that we had to store it outside. And the winter came, it started to snow on it. And we had no more room. Our little store was too small already. So we prayed for more room. The next door neighbor that had the business came to us and said, hey, I'm not doing well. I closed half of my business because I paid too much heat. So the rear half is closed. I can let you store your stuff that is outside in the snow in the rear half of my building as long as you don't turn on the heat. I said, how much do you want? Oh, nothing. You make a difference for our community. We want to help. Praise the Lord. 3 months later, the neighbor from the other side says, that guy told me that in 3 months, in half building, God bless him more than any time in the whole building. I'm going to give you half of my building. Maybe God would bless me too. We got half of his building. 1 year later, we purchased the AutoZone because it was too small for us. Because one lady was willing to listen in prayer. I could give you example until tomorrow. I could talk example after example. I mean, when I was driving from Tennessee and a friend of mine called, when John from Michigan, Flint, Michigan called, I could give you story after story. John from Flint, Michigan, good friend of mine. He said, I'm going to do that. Every morning, I'm going to seek God's will and listen, not just say it as a slogan, but actually, God, show me your will. Here I am. Show me what to do. And he said, since I started to pray that prayer, God works every day. He said, I was driving. It was snow. You know, you say Michigan, you say snow. They go together. It's like Chicago, you say wind. You know, the wind blows only 2 times in Chicago. 6 months from east and 6 months from west. Same in Michigan. It snows only 2 times, but it lasts 10 months. But anyway. So, it never stops snowing. It's crazy. Anyway, so, he says, I was driving, there was snow. I'm on Interstate I-94, and I was praying, God, show me the will you have for me. Show me what you have. And he said, God said in my mind, turn your head to the right. And I turned my head. And I saw something. And I told my wife, Vicky, I should not have said the name anyway. There is something white on the snow. And she said, well, snow is white. I said, no. God told me to look. I looked and there is something white on the snow. So he gets to the no U-turn. He turns on the no U-turn. He goes to the previous exit, turns and comes again slow. And he looks and sure enough, an old man in a white robe on the snow. He stopped the car, the SUV, nice Suburban, really nice Chevy. He stops, new, all the whistles and bells, expensive car. He stops the car, he puts the blinking lights, and he goes there, and the man has something here that says his name and says Alzheimer's. Man left nursing home to go home and forgot where home is, and he fell down and froze. So John put him in the car, drove him to closest hospital, and the doctor said, a few more minutes, it would have been too late. You saved his life. The doctor called the daughter of the old man. She came and she says, how did you see him on the snow? And John says, well, long story. Just tell me. Well, this is how I pray. Lord, show me your will. And God shows me every day what to do. And God told me, turn your head to the right. So I listen to the impression, and I turn my head, and I saw him on the snow. And she says, what church do you go? Seventh-day Adventist. I want to go to that church. But we keep Sabbath. I don't care what you keep. You can keep Tuesday. We don't eat pork. Do you eat chicken? Yes. Okay, I'm coming. Do you get the point? She says, I'm coming because that's where God is real. It's not the doctrines. I want to see God that is real, working. Folks, when you say, may your will be done, you need to desire to know his will and be willing to listen and be willing to do it in order to say it. Not just a formula, but you got to live what you say. You follow me? I'm not going to give you more stories. My time is up. Yes, 9 o'clock. Would you believe 9 o'clock sharp? We finish. Done. Okay, let's have a prayer. It's done. No more stories. Done. Okay, now don't argue with me because you don't get anywhere. So, listen, folks. Ask God to wake you up what time he wants and mean it. You will not lose anything. And if it happens that one night you sleep too long in the morning, don't get discouraged. Satan would want you to get discouraged and to stop. Ask him again next night. The righteous falls 7 times and he gets up again and he keeps walking. You follow me? Say, Lord, I want a prayer life. Wake me up in the morning to start with you. He will do it. If you mean it, he will mean it. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, teach us how to pray. Help us focus on you. Help us understand that in the big picture, our problems are not so big as we think. Help us understand that we need to seek you first. Seek your kingdom, seek your righteousness, seek your work, seek your honor. And then trust that you love us enough and that you have enough wisdom and power and grace to take care of us. Trust that you'll take care of the other things. Help us to always know you so much to the point that we have peace and joy. We pray in Jesus' precious name and thank you, Lord. Amen.